Find a reading in Exodus chapter 12, book of Exodus chapter 12, and reading verse 1 through 13, and then one verse over in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Exodus chapter 12, and reading at verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat it not raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the Puritans thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Going over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Just one verse, verse 28. Hebrews 11 verse 28. And the writer here is speaking about Moses, and he says, Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We've been dealing with messages about Moses in our morning services that I've been with you over these past few months. And we saw Moses as a baby in an ark of bulrushes by the riverbank. We have seen Moses as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We have seen him then growing up in the palace, then making that momentous decision when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We've seen him at the backside of the desert looking after Jethro's sheep for 40 years where God was preparing him for service. We've seen him at the burning bush when God revealed his will to Moses and spoke to him. We've seen him coming with Aaron in before Pharaoh with God's message when God said, Let my people go that they may serve me. Here this morning, we come to one of the greatest moments in Israel's history. The Passover. There was still one more plague to come upon Egypt, and that was the plague of the firstborn. When the firstborn of every family and every home, God would bring judgment on that firstborn, and every firstborn would die. And do you remember how that God told Moses and Aaron what the children of Israel should do. They should take a lamb, they should keep it and make sure that it's without blemish, and then they should kill that lamb on the 14th day and take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel of the door. And God gave them this promise. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, or I will hover over you. Theodore Epp, the great Bible commentator, says that this was Israel's Independence Day. It was on this day that Israel was delivered out of bondage, and it was on this day that they became a nation. You notice it says there in verse 2 of the chapter, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now the month referred to there was the month of April. And from that day on, Israel was to keep the Passover feast. And to this time, and to this very moment of time, down those thousands and thousands of years, Jews the world over celebrate the Passover feast. Of all the feasts, it's probably the one that stands out, the most important. They celebrate the Passover feast. And they remember that time when their people, their forefathers, was in bondage, when God delivered them. And it reminds them of the beginning of Israel as a nation. Hebrews 11 attributes Moses' faith at that important factor to the Israel's faith at this time. He was the great leader of the people, and his faith was contagious. By faith, Moses kept this Passover. We find that Moses' faith was not blind faith. It wasn't blind faith. It was faith that had a foundation. It was founded upon the Word of God. F.B. Meyer says that his faith was based upon a promise. And the promise was this, that God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. His faith led to action. It's a great thing when people hear the Word of God, and it's a great thing when they respond to the Word of God. We need a living faith. We need a faith that acts. We need a faith that works. James says that faith without works is dead. I trust you don't have a dead faith this morning. You need to have a faith that works, a faith that lives and puts into action what God wants us to do. It was a faith that had a foundation. It was a faith that led to action. And his faith, Moses' faith, was vindicated. What God said would happen, did happen. That night, those who had not the blood applied to the doorposts, the firstborn was dead in the morning. Those who had the blood applied to the doorposts and lintel were saved. That night, God brought his people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and a mighty power. And we want this morning just to see what lessons we can learn from that Passover night in Egypt. Looking at what lessons we can learn from the Passover night. As I have looked at this through the week, I've come to this conclusion that this would be a good message for those who are newly born in Christ. Because we see it step by step. But it's not just a message for those who are in newfound faith in Christ. It's a message for all of us this morning, friends. God's word is for all of us. Not just for the person next to you or behind you or before you. It's for you. It's for me. And so we want to look at this morning. As we see the Passover here, we see, first of all, the people trusting in the blood. The people trusting in the blood. These people, remember, were in bondage. The firstborn was in danger of death. And the thing that the people needed was a lamb. They needed a lamb. And God made it clear that the only thing that could save these people and set them free was the shed blood of the lamb applied to the doorpost and the upper doorpost of their house in verse 13. You remember, it was a selected lamb. They had to choose a lamb. A lamb out, it was a selected lamb. And in verse 3, we see here that it was, verse 5, it was a spotless lamb. A spotless lamb. Had to make sure that it was without blemish. And we find in verse 6 that it was a slain lamb. It says, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it. In the evening, it was a selected lamb. It was a spotless lamb. It was a slain lamb. And may we find that it was a sufficient lamb. It says in verse 4, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. You know, the household could be too little for the lamb, but the lamb was never too small or too little for the house. The lamb is always sufficient. It was a sufficient lamb. And we find in verse 13 that it was a sheltering lamb. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you and all those who had the blood applied to the doorposts that night. They were sheltering under the blood. And man was a saving lamb because of this destroying angel went through the land. God protected that firstborn that was in that home. Dear friends, they were to take the blood and put it on the doorpost. Every firstborn in every home was depending on the shed blood of the lamb to save them. Remember this, it wasn't their feelings that saved them. It was their faith that saved them. It wasn't their feelings, it was their faith in the blood. Some may have had doubts about it. Some may have watched the clock when the midnight hour came and they must have wondered, my, is this really going to work? Others may have had peace about the whole thing. But the main thing was this. The main thing was that the blood was applied. That was the important thing. It was the blood that God was looking at. He wasn't looking at their fears. He wasn't looking at their doubts. He was looking, my, for the blood. God was looking for the blood. It was the blood that he was looking for. Dear friends, the assurance of salvation. Great to be sure that you're saved and have that assurance. And I know it's possible sometimes that God's people lose their assurance. I've dealt with many people who have come to me and said, you know, I've lost my assurance. I still don't have the same assurance that I used to have. Dear friends, the assurance of salvation is not based on some emotional feeling or some special event. It's based on the promises of God. Could I say this morning, there may be some here in this morning meeting. Maybe you're still in the bondage of sin. Maybe you're still in Egypt's darkness, friends. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. My dear friend, what you need is a lamb. What you need is a lamb. And God sent his son to be your lamb. He is our Passover lamb. Paul said, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He's our Passover lamb. He died for you at Calvary. He shed his blood for you to save you. And God has made it clear that the only thing that can save sinners from the judgment of God is the shed blood of the Lamb of God, a play to their heart by faith. It's not good works. It's not religion. It's not the ordinances that people need. It's faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you haven't faith in the blood of Jesus Christ this morning, you're under judgment. But if you have faith in him, then you're sheltered by the blood and you're as safe as God can make you. Dear friend, this morning, are you trusting in the blood? Because the blood of Christ makes us safe. And the word of Christ makes us sure. They were trusting in the blood. The people on Passover were trusting in the blood. The second thing is this. The people were obeying the word. In verse 28 of this 12th chapter, it says, "And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they." You know, the Lord's word came to them through his servants Moses and Aaron, and the people did as God commanded them. And that's how it should be for you and me. You know, the beginning of a new life. There at the beginning of the chapter it says, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months." And the beginning of a new life begins by trusting in the blood of the Lamb to save us. And it continues by obeying the word of God that sanctifies us. God's word came through his servants. And we find the people doing all that God told them to do. As a nation, they came out of Egypt and they journeyed on to a place called Succoth in verse 37. And then we see again in verse 50, down at the end of the chapter, "Thus did the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they." So often people get saved. That's as far as it goes. Never go any further. Dear friends, when you get saved, it's only the beginning. It's the beginning of a new life. There's a whole life ahead of you. There's a whole journey ahead of you. It has been said that life begins at 40. I disagree with that now. I think life begins at 60. But no matter when it begins, someone else has said that life begins at Calvary. And that's exactly where life begins for the believer. New life. New life in Calvary. My dear friends, I believe that God is looking for three things from each one of us this morning. First of all, he's looking for the blood on the doorposts of your life. Are you under the blood this morning? Are you trusting in the blood? Secondly, he's looking for your love. He wants you to love him. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." He wants your love. There's a lovely little verse in the book of Proverbs. And it says, God says, "My son, give me thy heart." He wants us to give him his heart. God is looking for the blood. God is looking for our love. And the third thing God is looking for obedience. He's looking for obedience in our lives. You may hear the word, God's word. You may know God's word. Are you obeying God's word? Are you obeying what God's word says about prayer? Are you obeying what God's word says about the Lord's table? It's a very simple message at the table. This do in remembrance of me. Are you obeying God's word? Are you obeying God's word in baptism? In church membership? In separation? In service? In giving? You may hear the word. You may agree with the word. You may even enjoy the word. But are you obeying it? Because this book says that obedience is better than sacrifice. God is looking for obedience from his people. We see here the people trusting in the blood. We see here the people obeying the word. And then from verse 8 to 10... in the chapter, we see the people feasting on the Lamb. Feasting on the Lamb. It says here, "And ye shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat it not raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and the Puritans thereof. You know, God gave instructions to the Israelites prior to their exodus. We often neglect this important part of the Passover. There's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And leaven in the Bible speaks of sin. And the Jews had to put all the leaven out of their homes. Had to put it all out. And then they had to kill the lamb. But they had to eat the lamb. Roast with fire. They had to eat it. You see, the blood of the lamb, the blood made them safe. And the word of God made them sure. And the feast which they were instructed to eat made them strong. And the dress, because they were instructed to eat it fully dressed. It says there in verse 11, and thus ye shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes in your feet, your staff in your hand. My, they would eat it fully dressed. And that made them ready for departure. You see, friends, these people, they were going on a journey now. When they left Egypt, that's where life began, but they were going on a journey. And they needed to feast on the lamb to get strength for that journey. You know, you and I this morning, we're on a journey. We're on a pilgrim journey. Yes, we're marching to Zion. We're heading for our heavenly home, and we're on a journey. It may be a long journey for some of us, my dear friends, but we need strength. We need strength for that journey. We need strength. Because as pilgrims on the journey of life, there'll be hills and there'll be valleys. Yes, there'll be some days when the sun is shining. There'll be other days when the storms of life are raging. There'll be disappointments and trials. There'll be good days and bad days. And we need strength. We need this inner strength to help us through these things. This spiritual strength that we get from God. Now, you remember that lovely story in Luke chapter 10 of the home that Jesus visited in Bethany when Mary was there and Martha. And you remember how that Martha served in the kitchen and Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened to his word, and Martha got a bit annoyed. And she came and she says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that you help me. Jesus turned to Martha and he says, Martha, you're cumbered and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What he's saying is, Martha, the work in the kitchen can wait for a while. The provision on the dishes, it can wait for a while. Mary hath chosen the most important thing. Dear brethren and sisters, this morning, when it comes to Sunday morning, when it comes to midweek, people say, you know, well, I was so busy, I couldn't get out, I couldn't make it. The work in the kitchen can wait for a while. Can wait for a while. The work in the garden, you can cut it the next night, unless it's raining or something like that. Can wait for a while. Mary hath chosen that good part. Are you putting first in your life the things which are beneficial to you? God is not asking you to put these things first just because he says that he knows what's more benefit to you. My dear friends, Mary hath chosen that good part. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She was feasting her soul on the Lord. The psalmist says in Psalm 1, the man that delights in his word shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalm 104, verse 34, the psalmist says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. Psalm 37 verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Dear friends, we need to feast on the Lamb. We need to feast our souls on the Savior. We spend time at the meal table each day satisfying our bodily needs, because our bodies need food. You men, you need strength to do your work. You women need strength to look after the children and to look after the home. Our bodies need food for that. Our souls need food just as much as our bodies do. We need to be feasting. Wonder, are you feasting on the Lord each day? Spent maybe 3 times a day at the meal table. Some of you maybe 5 or 6, I don't know. Wonder how often you spend feasting on the Lord. Taking time. Dear friends, when you feast these things, you get strength for the journey. Strength to help you overcome the enemy. We see them trusting in the blood. We see them obeying the word. We see them feasting on the Lamb. And verse 11, we see them leaving the world. Verse 11 again, thus shalt thou eat it with your loins girded, your shoes and your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. There's a lovely spiritual lesson here as well, friends, that we can learn from. You know, they were to eat this feast fully clothed, ready for departure. They were citizens of another country. They were ready to leave immediately for that land. Egypt speaks of the world. And when these people put their faith in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord wanted them out of the world as soon as possible. He didn't want them lingering on in Egypt. And the spiritual application to you and me this morning is just this. When people get saved, the Lord wants you out of the world as soon as possible. Doesn't want you lingering on in the world. My dear friends, there's a little portion over here in Hebrews 13. Maybe it would do you good just to look at it with me. Chapter 13 of Hebrews and verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, identifying ourselves outside the camp. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Brethren and sisters in the Lord this morning, here with no continuing city. We don't belong to this world anymore. We don't belong to it. We're heading for a new land. We're called strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's what we should be. A stranger is someone who doesn't belong to that place. A pilgrim is someone who's heading for another land, another city. And we are heading for the land that is fairer than day, the New Jerusalem. Dear friends, I will trust that here we have no continuing home. Some of God's people have been saved for years, and they're still not out of the world. Still holding on, to some things they had even before they were saved, relationships. Pleasures, pastimes, possessions. Are you lingering in the world this morning? Not getting the best out of your salvation. You'll never be any good for God until you leave the world behind. The little chorus we used to sing was this, you know, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Are you following Jesus this morning? Finally, and I must do this quickly this morning, you see them in the Passover, trusting in the blood and obeying the word and feasting on the Lamb and leaving the world. And when you come into chapter 13, you see the people following the Lord. You know, when Pharaoh let the people go, we see God leading the people. And we find in verse 17 and 18, it says, "It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent, they shall see war and shall return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness, the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." You know, friends, God led them not by the near way, not by the easy way, but by the long way. He could have led them by the easy way, but he didn't. God in his wisdom knows the best way for his people. Maybe you're on the road this morning and you're going through a trial, or you're going through a difficulty, or there's a problem in your life this morning and you wonder why you've been asked to go through this and why you're having to endure this. I want to tell you this, that God knows what's best. Sometimes I can't understand it and you can't understand it, but God leads us in the way that he knows is best and better for his people. Down at the end of the chapter, and with this I finish, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and by night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." We're going to come back to this in the next Sunday morning that I'm here, God willing. But there's a lovely little phrase there. It says, "And the Lord went before them." The Lord went before them. Now, he went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, and by night in a pillar of fire. And for Israelites, that was a visible sign of the Lord's presence, regardless of their circumstances during the journey. The cloud was an evidence that the Lord's presence remained with them. The cloud was assuring them. And we'll find out the Lord was leading them. And we'll find out the Lord was protecting them when we come to chapter 14. But we're not doing that. We haven't time to do it this morning, because the pillar of cloud, you remember, came in between Israel and Egypt when Pharaoh came after them. Dear friends, this morning, are you trusting in the Lamb? Are you trusting in the blood this morning? Are you under the blood? If you're not under the blood, get under it as before you go home. Are you obeying the word, believer? You know the word. You can go to the references. Are you obeying it? Are you obeying the word? Are you feasting on the Lamb this morning, feasting on the Savior? Are you feasting your soul in Christ every day? You're leaving the world. You're following the Lord. I believe if we're doing these things, then God will bless us. And God will honor you. And God will help you. The going might be tough. The way might be difficult. But remember, the Lord says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." Keep on trusting. Keep on going. Keep on following. May God bless his word to our hearts. Amen.